Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
What's good, world? It's your boy, Pete Walsh, a.k.a. Lamborghini Petey. Hold up, my levels are a little low. Gotta turn this shit up. Here, as always, with my boy Abe Squadron. Abe, how you feeling, sir?
A.K.A. Abraham Lincoln Bio. Feeling good, man. We're having a good stretch of podcasts here.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, well, depending on when you hear this, we had Julius Erving. Went up and saw him, sat down with him for an hour. You know, as we were saying earlier, still just such a smooth dude, 70 years old, still just looking like he could still dunk out here too, man.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I mean, even better today, in my opinion anyway. This means much more to me than Dr. J, I'm going to lie. We got Raekwon the Chef up here, man. Ray, how you feeling, sir?
What's good?
Chilling, man. Thank you so much for dropping by, man. You know you're a busy dude, but...
Nah, it's all real, my nigga.
I got a
so
question, real. First off.
I had a question, too, but go ahead.
I mean, obviously, you can hear it in my voice.
Good old Abe. What up, Abe?
I'm a little bit under the weather here, but everything you do is about... making sure your voice is good, like you're performing, you're recording. Oh, right. Do you ever get sick? Like, how do you deal with, like, I'm dealing with a little bit of cold right now. What are the secrets, or like, what, do you just shut it down? Like, what happens if you got a little raspy voice 1 week?
Nah, I mean, you know, shit, I had a raspy voice when I was in the studio the other day. Sometimes I embrace it, you know what I mean? Because it sounds dope sometimes. So, you know, to switch your voice and it just does that naturally, it's like, hey, if it ain't crazy, then accept it. It's all a part of you, right? You know, so when I get in the booth and my shit get like that, I just go get some water. You know, just fucking say, damn, my shit is crazy. And, you know, it might be that part of the day, too, you know what I mean? So that happens at night to me, too, when I'm in the studio.
Okay.
And I'm there all fucking night, and, you know, it's like the shit just start conking out like a gas tank. So.
But what about if you're, like, on tour on the road and you're like, I'm sick? What happens?
Oh, nah.
Then?
I mean, the show still go on.
Yeah. So that doesn't happen. That's not an option.
The bag's got to be security. You know.
Yeah. There you go. But nah, you know, it depends if it's really like some shit that you can't control or whatever. But then you jump up and say, "Yo, fuck all this other shit." You
right.
Know? But yeah. Other than that, nah. You know, like I was just on the road the other day with the Woo. And we did a show in L.A. and Master Killer, he had a bad tooth fake and shit. And, you know, he was like, yo, you know, my shit is ripped and shit. I said, yo, damn, I felt this pain because, trust me, I had my times with that shit, too, and it ain't fun, you know what I mean? And he still went out there and did the job, and I'm just looking at him on the stage like, you a bad man. Like, you know, so we just deal with it, man. It's like an athlete, you know, you get scratched or you fall or you bleed, that don't stop the game.
Yeah, well, my question is, you know, just – from being like a Wu-Tang fan and just watching like every single interview you guys have ever done. I was watching this one pretty recently. You know, I know the first time you heard Protect Your Neck on the radio, I think it was on the Stretch and Bob show.
Word.
And then you have the quote you had was like, I jumped half my height when I heard that shit. So like,
oh shit, you remember that?
So do you think you could dunk if you jumped that high?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that night I could have. You know, that was like another night for me, though. But, I mean, you know, like sometimes I go in the airport, and you know how sometimes they got the thing that they, not the rope, but the tape thing that they put around you to go around shit?
Yeah.
One time I was in there, and I did like a two-step jump and jumped over that shit. And I did it without telling anybody when I did it, but the only person that seen me do it happened to be Master Killer that day. And he couldn't believe it. He like, yo, you just jump. It was like a 1-2 jump, and I jumped over the shit. I don't know how the fuck that happened. Yeah. That was like 10 years ago.
I don't think you could even do that in an airport now. Security would be like, what the hell is this guy doing?
Yeah, but you know us, when we walking through, we don't give a fuck. We just, you know, we ain't bothering nobody. We just, you know. That's what it is.
So, yeah, I mean, before we go any further, you know, The Wild is out now, iTunes, Spotify,
what have you.
Yeah, so, you know, why don't you just tell us a little bit about the album? You know, as far as, like, Wu-Tang solo members, you just consistently keep dropping music. Like, you never, it's like you and Ghostface never take a break. So, like, I don't know, I don't want to say, like, does it get tiring, but, you know, what motivates you to just keep putting out music, like, pretty much on a bi-yearly basis now?
Yeah, I mean, it's the passion, man. It's, you know, it's something that was always in us when we was young, that we wanted to do this. We wanted to live this lifestyle of making music and, you know, running around and fucking partying and being young forever. So I would just say I'm just living out what I wanted to do, you know?
Yeah.
And time is flying, and I'm still not looking at it like that. It was a sport at one time, and it's still a sport, but now it changed into a career, you know, and we good at it. So when you good at it, it tends not to, you know, get stale on you, mm-hmm. you know, because we keep ourselves in that frame of mind of knowing that, yo, we made a mark in the game, you know, as Wu, and when we step outside the door, people is always saluting and, you know, anywhere we go, I don't give a fuck if we're on the other side of the world, you know, people acknowledge us, and that's the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell a kid coming out the hood that he could get that. So for me, I'm just living in them times right now, and I don't think about it that way where it's stressful or anything. It's never stressful when I could just wake up and say, yo, just get on the mic and talk.
Yeah. You so, know? I mean, like, I know, like, business-wise, like, the Wu is always, you know, gone through some bullshit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel like you just love rap. Like, you know.
Word.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, I was just taught that, you know what? You know, everything can make money, but your passion is what gets you everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about a lot of these old singers that did their thing in the day, they wasn't doing it because they knew they was getting money. They did it because it was a gift, and they had to, you know, they had to share that with the world. So for me, of course, I gotta, you know, I gotta have a financial situation in place, but I do it because I love it, man.
Yeah.
I'm good at it. That was my gift. I feel like you got dudes that's good with their hands. You got people that's good that when they speak. You got people that know how to listen and, you know, create things based on other people's information. You know what I mean? I just feel like I'm good with words. You know, I've been around dudes. I study hip hop since Run DMC and, you know, the guys, a couple of guys before them, and that was all I learned. So if it was a sport, then it's like, yo, you watch the game all your life.
Yeah. Right.
If you wanna say rap is a sport, I watched the shit all my life as a kid, growing up, you know what I mean? Like you said, yo, you just had fucking Julius Erving up in here. You know, that's so fucking big because, you know, I look at it like this. When you got dudes like that that you look up to, those be the guys that you gotta pay respect to and say thank you, because they made a nation of people all around the world make so much money and take care of their family and do something they love to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's from guys like that. So anytime I see legends in the game, far as in the music that I know that I watch when I come up, it's like, yo, if they ask me to go to the store for them to get a sandwich, I'll go.
Right.
Real talk.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. Me and Peter definitely did our fair share of coffee runs and whatever.
Yeah.
Come on, you know what I mean? But that's just being generous. That's being generous for the people that you know that did something for your life. And that's what I said earlier about my passion for it, is because when I go outside and I see somebody who say, yo, I name my kid after you, or this dude that say, yo, y'all taught me how to rhyme, or this one that say, yo, you influenced this, you know? It gives me a noble position in the game to be who I am, and I gotta continue to do it. But I still love the fucking sport.
Yeah.
I'm just one of those cats that just didn't get old where he didn't want to do the shit no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned vocabulary, and obviously, like, I mean,
wordplay.
Yeah, I mean, but even just the Wu-Tang, like, lexicon and language is so crazy. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as, like, references and, you know, most of Wu shit is a lot of, like, kung fu and karate references. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think Triumph is probably one of, if not the group's most famous song. And outside of, you know, I Bomb Atomically, like, the one line everyone always knows is "Made him jump like Rod Strickland." At
yeah,
the end. So,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
So were you a big Rod Strickland fan back in the day, or what?
Nah, I wasn't. You know what I mean?
I was.
Yeah,
I grew up in the DC area. Let me tell you something. Rod Strickland to me.
Let me tell you something. And you know, I wasn't really a super big Rod Strickland. I knew about him, but you know, it wasn't that I knew him like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just that that rhyme came out because it needed to come out, because it was more in a metaphor thing, but it was also a vibe too I was in. You know what I mean? Made him jump like Rod Strickland, you know? I knew he was a ball player. I respected him and all of that, but I just felt like it made sense in the rhyme at that time.
You
know,
did you ever get like, to meet him?
Nah, I never met him.
We got to set that up.
I mean, I'm sure he would love that, man.
Yeah, I never met him, and it's so crazy. I heard him in an interview, and he said the same thing I said. Like, I don't remember us probably connecting or something one kind of way, but we both know each other, so that's the respect. But for me, like I said, you know, it made sense in the rhyme. You know, made him jump, the kid could play ball. He was getting busy, and you know, I just said his name.
It just worked.
It just worked. But it went together.
Yeah, I don't know. I just love that because, like, Rod Strickland is kind of one of those, not necessarily random players, but it wasn't.
He
like,
get busy, though.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah.
Trust me, he get busy. Oh, hell yeah. Like, we can't take that away from him.
No, no.
But me back then, I was watching Jordan.
Exactly.
I was watching this one. You know, I wasn't thinking, not like he's not a dope player. It's just that, you know, you know, like I said, I'm not even really super big on basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell the world that all the time. I like baseball for some reason. That's what I played as a kid. You know what I mean? I had my golden gloves, and we won championships. So when it comes to other sports, I watch it because of the affiliation of friends that I got, and I learn. You know what I mean? I learn who's dope and, you know what I mean, who's going to be that dude coming up later on, who's that bad motherfucker. But he always had that respect, though. And I think that's probably why it came out the way it came out. You know, Wu-Tang Clan, we always was good for foreseeing things. You know what I mean? You know, when we were saying shit like in our records, Can It Be All So Simple, we was like, our first joint and it went gold. We ain't have a fuck, you know, we was just already calling it gold.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a fucking record yet. You know what I mean? It wasn't even made. And then it wound up going gold, so... You know, sometimes we fortune tell shit, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, you make a kind of a interesting point, though. You know, if baseball is really your favorite sport, and I'm sure for many other rappers it could be football, whatever. But why then does basketball have such the close connection with hip-hop? It always has, undeniable. I mean, I know you were at All-Star Weekend. Like, why is it so – is it just the demographics? Is it the game itself? What do you think it is?
You know what it is? It's just that when you think of successful people in sports, period, and especially could relate to their struggles, it's like a lot of basketball dudes come from out of these places that we come from out of. So it's either, you know, music, you know, go to school or shoot or play ball or hoops or whatever, sports. So these are the main things that always... You know, in the neighborhood, we was looking forward to watching and seeing. And when you know, basketball, a lot of the OGs that we grew up on, they was basketball players.
Right.
Like, in our neighborhood, it was like they would have this area where they would have, like, a little baby park in the middle of the projects, and you would go out there and watch the older cats play and do their thing and be like, yo, he's nice. Yo, he look like he can make it to the league. And I guess for a lot of, you know, cats in our time, a lot of basketball was always a top sport. You know, Michael Jordan with the Jordan sneakers and, you know, yo, I need a pair of Jordans. You know, I ain't even a fucking basketball player, but I need a pair of Jordans. So, you know, all that helped the sport of basketball. You know, if you really call it what it is, you know, the games back then, watching Magic Johnson, you know, seeing certain things, and that helped make this sport become a glamorized sport. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you mentioned the Jordan sneakers. You know, you guys are so influential in the style world, like whether it be like Blue and Cream Wallabies, you know, Polo, Tommy Hill, all that. You know, did you ever look to, you know, not necessarily just sneakers, but like the way NBA players dressed and to influence your own style and then, you know, bring that to the hip-hop world as well?
Yeah, you know, when we started to do all the fashion thing, it wasn't really influenced by basketball, you know. Only thing that really had us magnetized was the fact that, you know, Jordans became so big, you know what I mean? It wasn't really that much to really emulate when it comes to that. But I think for me, it was me watching the rappers, the rap artists back then, you know, coming up, Slick Ricks, the Big Daddy Kanes, the ones that really represented the culture in a way where it's like, yo, damn, look at them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, even Run DMC, I don't care with the sneakers. You know, I remember when Adidas was $32 back in the days, you know? And it was hard for me to get those shits. Yeah. I had to put shoe polish and all that shit, keep my shits white and all. Keep my shits white because I knew I wasn't getting another $30 no time soon.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's just more the fact that we all know that we all feed off each other in a way.
Yeah, and you know? I feel like, you know, you and Ghost, especially with the Only Built for Cuban Links album, like, took, like, the gold chains and
yeah,
rock and gold,
made
like,
it
to
big,
the next
yeah.
level. And, like, even
yeah.
Ghost, when he had the huge, like, eagle
yeah,
on his,
yeah,
on his
yeah.
arm, the gold eagle.
You know I gassed him up to get that shit. You know, he was supposed to go a house. He was supposed to go buy a house, but he went and bought a big eagle on his fucking, on his wrist. And I gassed him to go get it. Go get it, man.
Yeah, you only live once, man.
Told him it's going to help his luck.
Yeah,
you know
it
mean?
Certainly did, man.
That's what I told him. I said, it's going to help your luck. Trust me.
Oh, man. All right, so what was the first time you met an NBA player?
The first time I met an NBA player, let me see. Let me go back. I would say back definitely around the time we first started. I remember when I seen Kobe, you know what I mean? Kobe was man cool. I knew Lamar Odom as a friend because, you know, at that time they was all on the Lakers and all that. This was like, wait up, hold up, because I might have met them a couple of like maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was like the 2000s.
Yeah, that was recent. Yeah, yeah that might. Yeah, going all the way back. Who can I say I met? You know anybody I might have met?
Chris Childs, Pat Ewing, any like Knicks?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Baron Davis is definitely a good friend of mine
okay.
that I actually got a chance to see in the physical one time, and you know he was mad cool. This was back though. This had to be at least in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay,
you know,
because
like I said, you know, not when you're not too much of a basketball player, it's hard to run into those guys and know who they are.
Right,
right.
You
but
know?
I mean,
he
I
might have been the first one definitely to the table that I met that I talked to.
But I mean, these guys had to be such huge fans of your music, so like.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever come, like, backstage when you were on tour? Like, did you ever look out in the crowd and see them? Or was it there just, like, a separation
Jalen
there?
Rose.
Yeah.
Jalen
yeah,
Rose?
Jalen Rose
yeah.
is the first guy. Yeah. Jalen and Baron. Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of times when that happened is that they didn't come backstage. They just showed up at the show,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just played the cut and chilled. And, you know, a lot of times these guys, they just want to be regular, man.
Yeah.
They don't want to be the, you know, the guys to be looking like, we coming in here and we want you to acknowledge us like that. They just love the music, you know. And a lot of times I meet these guys, it might be in a restaurant or, you know, somewhere like an event where it's like we just walk by each other. Yo, 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 what up, kid? Yo, what the fuck you doing here? Yo, nah, yo, I'm just sitting here just doing this shit, man. You know, yeah, yo. I fuck with y'all, you know, Wu-Tang putting on. Yo, Ray, yo, the Cuban Links, you know what I mean? It be like a cross by what's up. It don't never be like a
right.
more... You know, in the cut, like, we just sitting in the back chilling with us and shit.
Yeah.
Did you see that Kevin Durant got a Wu-Tang tattoo on his leg?
I thought I seen that on his leg, right?
Yeah.
He went and got two, right? He had something else on there, too.
Tupac, yeah.
Yo, that shit blew my fucking head off because, you know, like I said, being around fucking, you know, dudes that really love the sport, you know, that shit definitely hit my desk, you know what I mean? And it was like, yo, you seen what the nigga just put on his fucking leg? Just threw the fucking W up there. This motherfucker. And that's when I was like, yeah, he official. And you could tell you could tell that this music is really influencing these players, man. And they going out there and they making millions and millions of dollars from just being in a great zone. You know, music puts you in a zone, man. You know, and that's it's all a part of being motivated, you know, and that's what they do. You know, like I said, you know, sports was our way out, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We come from the neighborhoods where it's like, yo, not gonna be no fucking mechanic.
Yeah, and I mean like
with all that oil on me, shit. I don't want to do that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I'd rather go out in the street and run from the police.
Yeah,
some people think like that,
right?
You know, and some is just like, nah. You know what? I gotta go do this job. I gotta get this money.
Yeah, and I mean like in KD's case, you know, he was probably what. Six when Enter the 36 Chambers came out, so
God damn.
Yeah, I mean, so he actively sought out like Wu-Tang,
shit.
You know, like it didn't just fall on
I never
lap.
Looked at it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I never looked at it like that. You know, that really puts that It definitely puts some age on us, though, but it's a dope, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, man, you know, we all get influenced off of things that stick out to us. You know, if this, you know, if these people stick out to you, then it's like it becomes a life-changing thing when you meet them, you know. Maybe they was at an experience one time where it was like, yo, I really rock with them. Like, they make me laugh. They make me cry. They say the real. They say what is on my mind. I feel like they talking to me. And then now you become a part of that movement because you see the same thing in you and them.
Well, I know you were at All-Star Weekend this year. Mm-hmm. And you were telling me a little bit before we turned the mics on about an encounter that you had, a chance encounter. So just tell us who you bumped into down there.
Oh, yeah. Nah, yeah, I went down to New Orleans for the, like you said, for the All-Star. And I happened to come in a hotel and shit. And when I came in the hotel, I seen Floyd Mayweather. When I first was checking in, you know, I'm seeing all these TMT trucks outside. I'm like, oh, shit, this is my boy. My boy is in here. What's good? And then, you know, 20 minutes sitting in the lobby, he just walked in. We talked for a minute. And then later on in the night, I bumped into my boy Allen Iverson. You know, he was with like three dudes. He was real low-key chilling. Came in the lobby. We was drunk, you know. We just came from fucking out all night or whatever. Yeah. And who we see in the lobby?
Sounds like
chilling.
All-Star Weekend.
Sounds like All-Star Weekend for real, right? And I seen AI and shit, me and Ghost. You know, it was me and Ghost together then. And we seen him and shit. You know, of course, he start yelling, yo, Chef, Ghost, yo, Ray, yo, what's good, yo? We like, oh, shit, AI, what's good? You know what I mean? And next thing you know, I looked at his finger. Some said, look down at his hand. He had that Hall of Fame ring on. I said, oh, shit. I said, let me see that fucking ring, man. Told him, let me hold that ring real quick, man. He took it off. He's laughing. He took it off. I put it on my finger. And I just kept looking at it. And shit just said, Hall of Fame. Yeah. I said, yo, man, this is incredible. This is the closest I'm going to get to a Hall of Fame, you know, Hall of Famer, and with his ring on.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, he was mad, super mad, cool. You know, we met him years ago. So the relationship was always there. It wasn't like a first meet and greet thing, but... Yeah, man, he was just chilling, man. He was cooling. And then I met later on at another party. What's my man name with the eyebrows? Tall dude.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis.
There's only one single eyebrow. Yeah. There's no eyebrows, plural.
Nah, I just got to call him that because I got a brother that got his eyebrows connect like that, too. My other younger brother and shit. But I was hanging out with him one night. Me, him, and Dave Chappelle and all us was, you know, the Roots and all that.
That's quite the crew right there.
Yeah, it was just getting crazy over the weekend and shit. But, yo, he wound up getting the MVP, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like greatness always finds itself.
You influenced him to win MVP, man.
It's crazy, man.
I attribute that to you.
yeah, exactly. Because I definitely did the same shit when I heard he got it. Like, yo, he was with me that night. You know what I mean? He was with me that night. He touched my motherfucking hand that day. Like, you know, that's how I am. Sometimes when you get around star power, it's like it could be a handshake. It could be a brush against you, you know, a brush on your arm. I look at that as great shit that happened to me.
Yeah.
So it was just so ironic that I seen him that night. We was partying and, you know, I had a performance that night and he was there. And he was like, yo, I respect your work. You know, that was that.
So who's the best basketball player in the Wu?
Who's the best basketball player in the Wu?
Yeah. I feel like Ghost would be just a...
Hell no.
I feel like he would just be a problem, though, because I feel like he would play dirty as hell.
Nah, Riz is the funniest basketball player motherfucker I ever seen in my life play basketball, yo. Yeah, but a lot of the Wu cats don't really ball. They, you know, like I said, we never really got that deep into it, but who would I say? Can't say dirty. Deck could play. Deck probably got a little game. But Master Killer, yeah. Master Killer might be the guy.
Wait.
Yeah, right? Master Killer, yeah.
Method Man played in the celebrity game, though, and he had his do-rag flap waving in the wind.
I ain't know that. See, I ain't never seen Meth. Yo, I knew Meth damn near half my fucking life and never seen him play sports. So I don't know where the fuck that came from that day. I'm going to be honest. You know what I mean?
I'll show you the picture after this, man. It's
said
incredible.
His do-rag was waving in the air while he was running. This whole fuck is crazy. Oh, shit.
Yo, but speaking of just, like, random interactions, mm-hmm. either at All-Star Weekend or, like, basketball-related events, mm-hmm. you know, you went to a Jordan party, and you met Lionel Richie there.
Wow.
And then, you know that, too?
Y'all motherfuckers been doing y'all homework, man.
I promise you, man,
I ain't lying on that, man.
Yeah.
I don't got to lie about that, man. I met Lionel fucking Richie, man.
You know, but he was saying, you know, it kind of came full circle for you because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said, you know, if Marvin Gaye was alive, he would be rocking with Wu-Tang.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, you did the song Marvin on your new album, mm-hmm. you know, basically just a, I don't know what the correct term is, like, I guess biopic, but, you could say a biopic type of song.
Yeah.
Is it biopic or biopic? I've never understood that.
I always say biopic.
I always thought biopic.
Yeah.
Everybody broke it down to me, biopic. I thought it was biopic.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Biopic.
I'm rocking with Slang Rap Democracy.
Slang Rap Democracy. Yeah, nah. Nah, but yo, it's just a biopic fucking rhyme. You know what I mean? About a great man that had a story behind him. You know, like, see, one thing about us is, like, when you watch people who made it and you look at their success and see where they went with it, and then you take a look at your life, you kind of see resemblance, you know. And sometimes, you know, realities strike twice, you know what I mean, on certain people. And Marvin, he had a story behind him. He had a real deep story. And how he went out, I thought it was just not cool. It was sad. It was fucked up. I was pissed. I didn't like that because I remember the news that day, you know. And, you know, I just was saying, like, damn, you know, I always heard that story, that saying, like, you know, with your parents, they brought you in there to take you out, but you never really thought that that would really happen, you know. So to see him go through that, it was kind of like, you know, I grew up getting ass whoopings, you know what I mean? So I know. You know, I never had a father in my life at that time, but I grew up getting ass whoopings, and, you know, that man was going through a lot, and, you know, he really was defending his mother, you know, from the abuse at the time. And I thought the story was just amazing, you know what I mean? Because that influenced him to be an artist, you know, getting away from all that bullshit. You know, imagine you a kid and you seeing your parents fighting and all. I seen my moms go through that with a boyfriend, you know. And my mom's was tough. Like, I seen her break a motherfucker arm before, you know, but he kept hitting her. You know, and I'm a kid. I'm helpless at that time, you know. I'm like 7 years old, 8 years old, just watching, like, abuse. But just Marvin's story alone just inspired me to want to write this record about him because he was still great. He was a great one, you know. And it wasn't a record that I wanted to do to, you know, try to gain any props or, you know, anything like that. It was just something that was different going to be on the album that people could relate to.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like it's almost like a culmination of, you know, not necessarily the Wu as a whole, but, you know, the last 20-plus years, there's always been, like, Marvin Gaye references and Wu-Tang music. So, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, for us, it was always just, we like that type of music. Like, that gives us energy to go in the studio and make great records because we be in that mode sometimes.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to write about it. I was like, yo, you know what? This is a dope concept for the song because really the beat made me think of Marvin, mm-hmm. not just me already having it. Like, yo, I'm going to go in the studio and I'm going to write about Marvin Gaye. You know, nah, it didn't happen like that. It was the beat that once I heard the beat, it was like, yo, is that Marvin? Yeah. They was like, nah, that ain't him. I was like, well, it sound like Marvin, but it's not a sample from Marvin Gaye. You know, so I was like, yo, I just keep fucking seeing Marvin Gaye's story on this shit. And then I came with the concept and wrote it.
Mm-hmm. So you met Lionel Richie at this Jordan party.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if Lionel Richie's pulling up, you know this party is.
Lionel Richie told me, man. Ronald Richie told me. Rhino. Lionel Richie told me, y'all, real talk. He said, yo, because I seen him at the Jordan party, like you said. And I was standing outside, and there was a bunch of shit going on.
First of all, why is he even at the Jordan party?
Like, he's moving around. He's, you know, this is right. In L.A.
Pull it up.
It was a Jordan. I guess, you know, Jordan throw these big events and all that. So, you know, everybody's showing up or whatever. But anyway, I seen him, and he came up to me, and he knew who I was. And he said, yo, if Lionel, he said, if Marvin was here with me right now, we would have been doing it with y'all young boys. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, some words when you talk to people, you never forget. I never forget he said that to me. And that was one of the most greatest moments in my career. Mm-hmm. To meet somebody at that level and grow up watching them do their thing, you know, because I like All Night Long and all that shit and Penny Lover and all that. You know, those records right there to me, my mom's, that made me think of the glory days in my house.
Yeah, she grew up in the Commodore.
Yeah, the Commodore, yeah. Just to be close, all that shit. That's that shit. I still listen to that today. That's part of my grab bag of being a great writer. I'm being honest with y'all. Like, yo, I got to have that music around me, man. I listen to it in the fucking car. I listen to it in the plane. Everywhere. I need to be in that mind frame. So to see him, I think I was more a little excited that he just talked to me, you know. And then when he knew who it was, when he knew who I was, he fucked me up because I'm like, oh, shit, you know me. But he was like, yo. And the next thing he just said after that was, I guess Marvin Gaye was on his mind. And that's what he said. He said, yo, if Marvin was here, we would have been doing it with y'all. Meaning, like, we'd have been on records with y'all or some shit.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like
that was dope.
You have always paid homage to cats like that because you had, I'm going to forget the name of the project you did a couple of years ago when you did all the freestyles over, like, all the
old joints. Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like, you know, that music is so ingrained in you. But it's funny because, like, you know, the Wu Spits, like, just like murderous
other,
like,
shit. Like, other shit, right? Yeah.
But like, you just grew up loving like soul music. I just love like the correlation between that.
Nah, I mean, you know, music, you know, we a group that love music, period. You know, we get on the bus sometimes and we reminisce and it be battles, you know, yo, you remember this? Or yo, you remember that? Or, you know, and it goes all around the bus with us because we guys that really could say that at the time when we was coming up, we had a full life. Mm-hmm. A lot of these kids nowadays don't have a fucking full life, man. You know, where they get to understand everything about everything. You know, they just go from here to there, and then they think they seen it all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we've been in situations where music reflected our you know, our environments, you know, especially with records like Marvin Gaye's, What's Going On, Inner City Blues, you know, shit like that that we pay attention to in our music that, yo, has to be expressed. You know what I mean? It's like in Ghost. Ghost got a record in Supreme Clientele where he just stops and he's rhyming and then he stops in the middle of the rhyme and starts fucking singing Marvin. Yeah. Marvin. It's like, we didn't know that was going to be part of the rhyme.
That was like Ghostini, right?
Yeah, Ghostini, right? Yeah, Ghostini. Yep, exactly. And next thing you know, we singing it. Marvin. You know, it's like it just comes out of nowhere. And like I said, it's the same with certain phrases or certain words or names we say in our music. It just feels good right then and there, you know, and that's just what happened. But Marvin Gaye, he did something for the music. You know, number one, he come from Motown. You know, I like looking at shit like that on TV, too, because it's like a history channel for
Hell
me.
Yeah. Right.
Of musicians and that's the best way to explain it, you know?
Well, it's funny that, you know, we're kind of going down that path of conversation because we always ask, well, so in basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sort of the older generation sometimes now has been, I mean, pretty critical of the way that the game has changed, some of the younger players.
It's AAU like rap. Culture. It's like hip hop.
So, I mean, that's my question. Like, how do you balance sort of like, I'm sure that you like some of the new stuff that's coming out, but how do you balance that with like, the frustrations of what you just said of people not really
knowing the game that way. Yeah.
Or knowing the history.
Exactly. That's a good question too. I see a lot of basketball players feel the same way we feel about hip hop with the culture, with how they feel about basketball. Now, one thing I do gotta say is that these are conversations that we have all the time too, because, you know, having a ring is like having a gold record. It's like going platinum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that. Having, you know, us being guys that went platinum and gold rings and all that shit, I have about 10 fucking 15 rings right now.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but then you might have a cat who don't got a fucking ring but got more money than me.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it's really how you judge the stats of things.
True.
You know, and really see if you really earned it. Like, sometimes you might just get it because you in the right position at that time, but you really didn't fucking earn it.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
Right, a lot like of the 12th guy on the bench.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you really didn't, how we say in the hood, you ain't bust your gun off like that. So stop acting like that. You know, so with the sport being how it is and not playing amongst that competitive that they played with, it's like, don't try to act like you on my level.
Yeah.
But you are on my level to a degree because you successful, but at the end of the day, you're not on my fucking level. You know, you didn't have to fucking play with these kind of teams where they was really, you know how when you look at the game, you know, the game is an aggressive game. Basketball is aggressive, you know, but, you know, it ain't like it used to be now. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why, you know, I see some of these guys going at each other and, you know, Bron will say something about Barkley and Barkley will say some shit and then, you know, Anderson, yeah. You know, Kenny, he got to come clean it up and... You know, it's just the same shit like rap. It's, yo, man, it's really like looking in the mirror. You know what I mean? So I understand these guys who paved the way for these young cats and they act like they don't really get it. You know, you got to pay respect regardless of whatever it is. And a lot of times they may feel like they don't got to give respect because it's like, yo, you don't got no fucking ring. I don't got to respect you like that. I know you do your thing. You could play. But I don't got to fucking respect you. It's like, hold up. You do got to respect. Because number one, he did the shit before you, motherfucker. Number two, you wouldn't be getting them type of bags the way you getting if it wasn't for motherfuckers like him.
Right.
So cut the bullshit. But at the same time, I respect that if you don't respect me, I'm not going to respect you. So I get both sides of it. But that's just how it be, man. You know, a lot of guys get in the game and they don't do half the work, but they think they fucking... You know, you could be compared to the best. You can't do that unless you really, really, really gifted like that, and you got to earn it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's got to be. I can't even imagine how frustrating it'd be for you when you see, you know, Lil Yachty or whatever, be like, I don't know any P.I.G. song.
Yeah, but I don't get mad at it because he wasn't born around that time.
Right.
He doesn't come from that, so I don't take that personal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's just how you say shit sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I guess that was really more the issue that everybody was yelling about is just the fact that, yo, how you saying it. You know, I respect it. Hey, if you didn't grow up on, like I just said to you just now, I didn't really acknowledge Rod Strickland like that. You know, I know he's a city kid, but you know what I mean? But I was watching Jordan.
Yeah.
I need the sneakers. You know what I mean? I need the AR pieces and shit like that. So, you know, it's almost in the same frame of mind if you get where I'm coming from, you know?
I mean, and like...
It's how you produce it, though, people.
And like when you look at Allen Iverson, like, he never won a ring, but impact-wise, influence-wise, style-wise, he's like up there.
Let me ask y'all this shit, man. Let me ask y'all. And Don, you know what I'm about to fucking ask them. What's more fucking important? To have a, what I'm saying for you, pointing to y'all, fucking Abe Lincoln over here and Petey Lamborghini right here. Let me ask y'all this shit. What's more important to you, a fucking ring or a Hall of Fame? Which one would you, a Hall of Fame ring or a championship ring? Which one is more important than y'all guys?
With no wiggle room for like.
No having both.
Caveats question?
No having both. If you had an opportunity, which one would you want?
I know it's tough. I would take a ring, though, man.
Because I think
championship ring?
I think I'd take the ring, too, and I'll tell you why. It's because I don't half the people that are in at least the Basketball Hall of Fame to
don't,
me.
Don't belong there.
Don't belong in there.
It's like, I mean.
But if you earn if you got a ring, I know for a fact that you were on a team that, you know what I'm saying? It's objective versus subjective.
So do you get a Hall of Fame ring without being – I mean, do you get a Hall of Fame ring from just being with champions?
What do you mean?
Like if I'm on the team and we keep getting championships.
I see what you're saying. If we
keep getting championship rings, do that necessarily mean that I deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
But you asked me which would I rather have.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
Not which am I more deserving of, right?
Right, exactly.
So like James Jones, who's on the Cavs now, he has 3 championship rings.
Right.
Would he be
a Hall of Fame?
Would he be a Hall of Fame?
No, hell no.
Fuck no. Yeah. But I'd rather have the 3. I'd rather be him than be
Charles Barkley.
Word?
I mean, not Mitch Richmond.
Oh, shit.
Not necessarily Barkley.
Not
but
Barkley,
like,
but how about Mitch Richmond?
Just someone someone who is a Hall of Famer.
But how did Mitch fucking get in there then? What did he do? He had to do something spectacular, didn't he?
It's the wrong example because I don't think he should be in.
Me either.
But is it because you didn't come from his era?
No, I'm. I grew up in D.C. I watched him at the tail end of his career when he played for the Wizards.
Right, right.
So I'm probably a little bit biased by that fact because he was trash then.
I mean,
but
he was nice on the Kings and the Warriors. Like,
yeah.
Right, right.
But I mean, look, Mitch Richmond, so like, here's a present-day example, right?
Right.
Dwight Howard, he's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Word?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, just shit.
Yeah.
He is.
Every time
statistically.
Wow.
He's statistically. It's overpowering. It's
longevity.
So it wasn't really from points. It was just from other pieces of his resume, you saying?
I mean, he took a team to the finals. He's going to finish top 10 in almost every big man statistical category.
I heard a lot of dudes always complaining about his game.
But this is my point. He'll be in, right? Would you rather be him in with no ring, or would you rather have a ring?
I mean, you know, for me, I think
– I bet you would rather have the ring.
Listen, I respect y'all charismas and what y'all say as far as, you know, what y'all did. But for me, to be recognized as a Hall of Famer is not the average walk in the park situation. So for you to get that blessing, a dude with rings ain't saying shit. You could say whatever you want to say about me with this Hall of Fame ring, but at the end of the day, they don't get those out like that.
I got something. Is Robert Horry?
They don't
in the
give
Hall of
those shits out like
He's
that.
He's in the Hall of Fame?
Who?
Robert Horry?
Yeah, yeah.
You sure?
Check that.
I don't know.
Google
if he
that
is.
Shit.
Don seems very convincing over there.
I don't think he is, but now you're making me think about it.
And Olajuwon are all in. So I was gonna say, would you rather have? He's got six rings.
Uh huh.
Seven rings. Would you rather have seven rings and no Hall of Fame appearance and not be in the Hall of Fame, or would you be in the Hall of Fame?
If I got seven rings, I want the fucking whole package now, man. I need everything. I want the ring, the Hall of Fame.
He's not in,
right? No, I didn't think so.
Everyone thinks he should be, according to one quick Google.
Oh, shit. Damn. But I think he deserves to be in, though, you know.
But his stats don't really, like, he only averaged, like, 9 points a game for his career. But everyone just knows him as, like, yo, he came through in the clutch every single time.
Yeah, he
just
came
like
when
you,
the pressure came.
Always coming through in the clutch with the verse. But
yeah, I'm a Horry nigga. I can't front him. I'm on a Horry level too, though. Word, you right. You right. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But I'm Jordan, though, too, though. You know, I'm a little bit of both of the motherfuckers.
I know we got to get out of here soon because you got better things to do. But
Nah. It's all good.
But you're wearing a Clippers hoodie right now as we take this.
Yeah.
I know you performed at a Raptors Eastern Conference Finals game last year?
Yeah, yeah.
So where is your NBA allegiance right now? Like, who's
your
squad?
I'm all over the place. I just love the colors and all that.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
I'm just keeping it real. They match the J's on my feet right now. So.
Yeah, but you did a lot of work in Toronto the last
decade.
Plus,
I've been going
again.
Yo, I love Toronto, man. You know, especially the Raptors. You know, they good guys. You know, when I came out there, they all embraced me. So for me, you know, like I said, the last couple of years, I've been getting a lot of good luck on the things I've been around and touching and seeing shit, because it just seemed like all of a sudden the Raptors just came out of nowhere and stepped they shit up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it was daytime now, you know, so that made me feel good to see that, though. But I respect all the teams, man, because all the teams, if you ask me, you know, all of them is, you know, they got great players on everybody's team. You know, and it's just like a shuffle. Like, it's like when you think of that, it's like thinking about rap crews. You know, everybody get their time to shine. Who gonna come out and bust ass and get a ring? You know, that's how we describe our music when we make a success. When we say it's a win, you know what I mean? Like right now, having a great album out, to me it's like, yo, you brought it home. You know what I mean? You're a winner. So, you know, at the end of the day, we always do them comparisons, though, but it's the same shit, man. I don't give a fuck, man. Even in corporate America, you know, you're always battling for position and slot and, you know, all them type of things. So it's all the same principles at the end of the day.
Word. All right, Ray, thank you so much for coming by, man. The Wild is out now. Go get that.
Go get that fucking album, man. Let me tell you something real quick about that fucking album. That album is well-crafted. Check for my new artist, Pure, on there. He's dynamic. You're going to hear about this dude. And he's a sports head, too, though. These guys sit around all day and just fucking watch CNN and fucking drink and rap, you know? So, yeah, man, just go get this album, man. Go get it on iTunes, Amazon. You know, if you go to one of these stores out here, you know, from Best Buys to FYEs, the shit is in there. They ain't in it. Say, yo, Ray said, go to the fucking back and go look back there and go get the shit, man, because y'all probably got this shit in a fucking box back there, and this is the hottest shit out right now. Word, go word. Get it, man.
Well, thank you so much, man. We always appreciate when guys come up, man. It's a real pleasure.
You got it.
We hope to do this again sometime soon, man. Thank you.